You know, it's amazing to hear these testimonies of what God has done. You know, and those who weren't here, God is still working. God is still doing things in our lives. We are not bound by a weekend of original equip. God is he doesn't have a weekend job here, all right? He's in the business of working in us every day. And it's important for us to realize that, because sometimes we can become a conference junkie. We can't wait for the next conference, and at the conference we are, you know, worshiping and dancing on a stage, and whatever the case may be, whatever you did, we are hosting and we are, you know, baptizing people, and it's just such a exciting time because God is moving on these weekends. And then Monday arrives. Right? We experienced that this week. It's just, can't wait for the next conference. And we're already thinking, okay, I don't know how I'm going to make it, the next conference even. How am I actually going to, there's a conference in May in Gauteng, and then September in Pretoria. But we actually can't wait for those times to grow in God. We need to grow daily in God. And so it's important for us to not be conference junkies. We prioritize these times, yes, but we're not bound to it. We're not building our faith on a weekend. I remember as a young guy growing up through school, we had these youth camps, you know, and then you attend this youth camp and it's amazing. You worship and there's a lot of preachers and friends, and then you respond to what God is doing and you feel like, man, I'm going to change the world going back into school next week. And then life happens. And then you wait for another few months and there's another camp and you go back and you respond again and I'm going to change the world. And then life happens. And so why is that? And I think for us as Christians, as believers, we need to be firm in what God is doing and what He wants to come and do. We need to stand firm. And this morning I want to share on how we can do that. How can we make sure that what God has done, what He is doing, and what He's still going to do, how can that take root in our hearts? How can that seed that He is sowing in our hearts, how can that take root and so that we can actually bear fruit for Him? And so I'm not putting this weekend on a pedestal. I'm saying whatever God is doing and whatever He wants to come and still do in you, that needs to take root so that you can grow. It's vitally important that what He is doing, we need to allow it to grow. And so there's a parable that I want to read to us this morning. It's a parable of the sower. Have you read that part of scripture before? The parable of the sower. And many of us might be into farming, and so this might tickle your ears a bit more than others. And it's also actually known as the parable of the four soils. The four soils. All right? And so you see, I'm going to read it just now, but it's basically a sower that scatters the seed on the ground, and it falls on different types of soil. It falls on different types of ground, and there's four different types of soil that the sower scatters the seed on. And I want to look into this because this really reflects our heart's posture. This reflects the posture of the heart soil, so to speak. And so the Lord is sowing seed. He sowed seed last weekend. He's sowing seed this morning through the testimonies, through the word that's been preached. He's sowing seed every day, whether you're aware of it or not. And the way our hearts are will determine whether the seed will grow or not. And so it's in Matthew 13, verse 3-9. So then it's told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Did you get the four different soils? This is not a test, that I want to get you guys to write. It's obvious in Scripture that there's four different soils, and I want to read these four soils to you, and we need to just examine, where is my heart? Where's my heart? What type of soil do I have? And so the first soil that I see is the soil of the path, the hard ground. And so you get this picture of the sower sowing seeds on the ground, and it almost just falls on the ground like marbles and just, you know, just keep going, and it doesn't really take root. So you see this picture of this very hard ground that really reflects the hardness of our hearts. Has your heart been hard before? When God does something, when a word is preached, it's just, right, I don't really make much of that. It's an obvious sign that our hearts can be hard. And then secondly, you get the soil of the, who can help me here? The rocky places, all right? The rocks. And it said as well, it's shallow. It's shallow. And it says that when the sun came up, what happened? When the sun came up, it was scorched. The seed that was sown got scorched and it got burnt, which means it's actually unfruitful. You can't use it to get a crop. And so often our hearts can be shallow. We want to receive. We attend these things. We are here to listen. But there's a shallowness in our hearts. And it's interesting, when the sun came up, it got scorched. And for me, Dad, to be honest, is when life happens and you place too much value on the things of this world, the riches of this world, you know, whatever the pleasures of this world can give you, lust of the eyes, all these things, your work, your career, the things that the world portrays, this is what you need to live for, that's the sun. It will shine on the seed that God is sowing. And if your heart is shallow, it will not grow. You'll just drift. Maybe you'll respond, yeah, I love what Luke shared, the fire of God, yeah. And then Monday comes, oh, I just need to live for my career. I need to live for this. I need to live for that. And you kind of forget about what God has done in your life. And that's why we become conference junkies. Because there's a shallowness. And God wants to take us deeper. God wants to take us deeper. We need to become mature followers of Jesus. Third thing that I see is that the seed was sown among thorns. Among thorns. You know, and it's interesting, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. That's what God says in His Word. Like, you're either fully in or you actually shouldn't try and keep a balance. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. You're fully in. That's kind of the expectation that God gives us. Like, this is my standard. Fully in. You can't have it both ways. You can't live for the world and live full out in the kingdom of God. The thorns, the things of this life, and it almost ties up with the previous point of being shallow. Man, we need to take out those thorns in our lives. Like Jesus says, you can't say you love me, but you hate your brother. You can't say you love me, but you hate the church. That video that we watched earlier, it's beautiful that this is the package deal, man. If you follow Jesus, we love one another as well. And it's not a burden. It should be life-giving to us. And if we have something against one another, that's thorns. We need to deal with those things. If there's sin in your life, you need to deal with those things. If you're not making time for God and we're not taking the time to grow in God, that's thorns. You need to deal with those things. It will choke the life out of the seed that God has sown already. And then, the last one that we all want, I'm sure, is good soil. We all want good soil in our hearts. I mean, we don't want to have a hard heart. We want soft hearts before God. And it actually, if you keep on going with that scripture, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So, I mean, the testimony of Vian Wasn't that beautiful? Just obedience. He heard God speak. Okay, now you need to choose. If you hear God speak, you need to actually realize now you need to make a choice. You're either going to hear, obey, or you just, thank you, Lord, you're speaking, and then you do nothing with it. You know what I mean? It's like telling your boy, go clean your room. Okay, I hear you, Daddy. But actually, no, there should be action. There should be obedience. Go and clean your room. And when God speaks, can we be those that hears and obey? And if you've got good soil in your heart, that's the response. You want to obey God. You want to obey Him. And let me tell you, if you want to bear fruit for Jesus, just obey Him. Just obey Him. Have a life full of obedience that will lead to fruitfulness. So can you see with me that it's all about the condition of our hearts? When God does something, it's about the condition of our hearts. Are you guys still with me? So there's two things that I want to just mention quickly, just on how we can make sure that these things grow in us. That what God is doing, that it will grow. That the seed that is sowing, that it will grow. So firstly, we need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. There's a lot I can say, but the whole statement of just follow your heart, I don't see that in the Bible. Just follow your heart, man. Just do whatever you feel like. How you feel, that's your truth. Is it? Actually, no, we need to guard our hearts. The Bible says our hearts can be deceitful, man. Our hearts can be deceitful. You might think, no, not my heart. You're deceitful. You can be deceived so quickly, quicker than you think. That's the whole point of deception. You don't see it coming. The moment you realize I'm deceived, you realize that you were deceived. You know what I mean? And so it's a heart. We need to guard our hearts. Don't ignore your emotions. Don't ignore your feelings. Guard it. Guard it. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. This is where the seed grows, is in your heart. So if you don't guard it, I don't know if it's going to grow. Guard your heart. Are you guarding your heart? Are you paying careful attention to what you listen to on the internet? Are you paying careful attention to what you're watching? Are you paying careful attention to who you're spending time with? Are you paying careful attention to what God is doing? That is how we guard our hearts. You know, and we need to be faithful with what God is doing. In 1 Corinthians 3, I think I gave you the scripture. Just listen to this. I planted a seed. Paul is writing, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And so what has God given you to do? Be faithful with that. Because if you are faithful with what God has entrusted you with, He is the one that will make it grow. He is the one that will make it grow. We just need to be faithful with what God has given us. All right. You know, many of you actually asked me this question. And maybe some of you have that question. You haven't asked it yet. Why does God only do all these amazing things on a Regional Equip weekend? Why is the worship so insane at a conference? Why is the preachers so powerful at a conference or a Regional Equip, and then during the year, like the Sunday morning, is it a bit average? Why is it that? Why is it always on these big weekends? Why is it so powerful? Can I tell you why? Because we do have an expectation on these big weekends. We've got an expectation. That morning, that Friday morning, I led the Friday evening meeting. And so during the day, like many people came to me. It's like, man, I'm just so excited for tonight. Man, I can't wait for what God is going to do. There's a massive expectation for what God is going to do. And then some of us walk in here this morning. Oh, church. Oh. Oh, yeah, you're preaching long, eh? Oh. Do you still have an expectation? Do you still have an expectation for God to move? I can assure you, if we arrive on a Sunday morning with that expectation, like we had last weekend, man, God is going to do a lot. God is going to do a lot. Or have we become skeptical in our hearts? A bit critical. You need to convince me to move, or you need to convince me to do this or that. And hard soil. That's the path. God is looking for good soil. Hearts are hungry for Jesus. Hearts on fire for Jesus to come and move again. Yes, Lord, come and do it again. You still have that hunger to see Him move again. You still have that expectation. Come, Lord. I need to see You more. That's how we guard our hearts, actually. That's how we do it. If you listen to your heart and the way you feel on your way to church, and it's on the wrong side of where God wants it, not going to experience much. We need to lift our expectation. We need to lift our eyes to Jesus. We need to lift our faith so that God can come and move. Amen? Come on. And then, so firstly, we need to guard our hearts. And then secondly, I want to end with this soon. You know, that saying, you know, what does it mean when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing. That's kind of relevant this morning, isn't it? But the second thing is, we need to realize that the devil is here to come and kill, steal, and destroy. We need to recognize the role of the devil. Sure, you should be preaching Jesus, man. Let me tell you, I'm preaching Jesus, but sometimes we forget that there's a devil as well. All right? And in John 10, verse 10, and I don't want to give him too much glory here, but I just want to explain you his ways. Is this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I mean, who wants life to the full? The life that Jesus gives, the seed that He is sowing, the seed that He is growing, I want that. But we need to realize that the devil, that we've got an enemy, the thief that's here looking what he can steal. And can I say this? If God didn't do something, if God didn't sow any seed, there's nothing to steal. So if the devil is kind of, you just see his hands, you know, in your life maybe, or your friend's life, it means God has sown seed. God has sown seed in your life, maybe in your friend's life. And we need to guard that. We need to fight for it. We need to water it. Because the devil is real. And he's here, not for why we are here. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 10, listen to this. Be self-controlled and be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Yo, that's hectic. Huh? He's looking, he's prowling, what does it say? It prowls around. Like a roaring lion. So he disguises himself as Jesus, who is the roaring lion. And he's walking, disguising himself like a roaring lion. And he comes and he deceives. And he doesn't walk in here with a pitchfork, all wearing red or whatever. He comes in disguising himself as a roaring lion. So how do you know who are you looking at? That's why we need one another. We need the unity. We need the presence of Jesus among us. We can't build church. We can't follow Jesus without the presence of Jesus. Did I say that right? Sure. So he's walking around looking what he can devour. And so he gives us a response in verse 9. So what do we do with it? We resist him. We stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's a day when Jesus is coming back. When you suffered a little while, you'll be all right. He's coming back, and we'll all be with him one day. So we need to be alert, church. We need to be alert. I don't think we should open up YouTube channels and, you know, calling out every guy as a demonic creature or every guy as a devil. I don't think we should be doing that. But you yourself, you need to be alert. You need to be alert. If you're going through the motions, I don't think you're alert. If you're not excited to come to church, I don't think you're alert. We need to be self-controlled, sober-minded. You know, that's actually one of the qualifications of leadership, is to be sober-minded, to have self-control. It means you're not allowing toxic influence into your life. You've got your self-control, standing firm on Jesus. You're taking responsibility for your life, and you represent him. We need to resist the devil. And can I say this? We resist him by being obedient. You can claim it like you want to. You can stand here and I resist you, devil, all you want. If you're not obedient, he's just laughing at you. He's just like, what? You're a hypocrite. You're calling me, you're resisting me, but you're not obedient to the word of God. We need to be obedient people. So on one side, I want to say we can't just blame the devil for what's happening. We need to take responsibility for our own hearts. We need to take responsibility for the seed to take root in our hearts. God is working. Will we have soft hearts? Will we have soft hearts to receive for what God wants to do? And I'll end with this. It's a abbreviation of the word soft. How do you spell soft? S-O-F-T. Oh, I just need to make sure. We spell it S-O-F-T, and we need to make sure our hearts are soft. And I want to leave you with this to help us practically as we go from this place to keep our hearts soft. So the S, now you're all guessing, what is that? It's not sport, all right? For many of us, it is. Hard ground. But the word S means the Spirit. The Spirit. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. We can't do this without the Spirit of God. We need to stay full of Him. We need to stay full of Him. It really starts with Him. The way you keep your heart soft is allowing the Spirit to come and do what He wants, to come and speak to you, to allow Him to come and soften your heart. And then the O, obedience, there we go. Obedience. I've said a lot about it. That's the way you keep your heart soft, just obey. And then the F, it's not football, or not fun. It's faithful, yes, but it's free. There's a lot of F's that we can kind of put in this category. But I want to focus on the word free. Nie drini, like free. You know, I'm Afrikaans, so the word free does come out a bit different than it should. Free. We need to resist the devil's schemes. We need to flee from sin. You can put that F there in as well. We need to flee from sin. The things, not just sin, but the things that are unhelpful in your life. You need to flee from it so that we can stay free. If you are bound by the chains of this world or the devil, you're not going to be free and your heart is not going to be soft. If there's things that you keep on struggling with in life, let us pray for you. Let us pray for you so that you can become free. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, come and make me free. Because in that, it's in that place of having freedom where our hearts can be soft. And then the T. What's that? The power of Christ, yeah. But the T that I want to refer to is transparency. Transparency. If you are struggling, come and chat, man. Come and chat to us. Be open about it. Don't try and hide it. Don't try to put up a front in church. Don't try and put up a mask. COVID is gone. You can take off the mask. We need to be real. We need to be transparent with one another. If you're struggling, share. Bring people into your life. And that's, honestly, for many, that's the most challenging thing to do, is to bring people into your life. But can I tell you how liberating that is? When you share your life with someone, your struggles, your weaknesses, and you can brag about your strengths as well, you can do that. But man, the transparency is about, man, I'm struggling with this. Help me. Help me. What should I do? There's something that the Lord does when we are transparent with one another. Honestly, if you think you can do the Christian thing on your own, good luck. Good luck. But God has called us together as a family, as a people of God. You don't see solo Christians in the Bible. You see guys belonging to one another, sharing life together, being transparent with one another. Bring people in, be real, and you'll see how your heart gets softened. And then if you feel someone, no, I'm not going to share because they're going to judge me, man, you're missing the point. And if someone does judge you in that bad way, come and speak to me, please. Because we are here to walk with one another. We're not here to look down on one another. We're here to help one another to grow. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. If the Bible says, if someone says, no, I'm without sin, catch 22, because now we're not like Jesus yet. We're becoming like him, so we're growing, and we need one another to do that. So we need the Spirit of God. We need to be obedient. We need to stay free, and we need to be transparent in the way we live.